Hello everyone, it's Yana here, Audio End to End. It's Audio Mode Day 8. And once again, it's too windy out there to record, so I've had to come inside first. Polling day today in the UK. But first, a quick thought on yesterday. My 10 minutes was up when I had a better idea how to put my thoughts on human rights succinctly. We don't need new laws or changes to laws. All we need is more police to enforce the laws we already have. And a better example probably would have been to say that now they want to go after the terrorists who may be committing atrocities. But it's, as I said, it's a slippery slope, and the worrying thing is that Theresa May has already called people who politically disagree with her extremists and saboteurs. So how do we know they're not going to go after them next? And that's why we need to make sure that we preserve the human rights that there are. So I've seen an article in the meantime that apparently they would have to call for a state of emergency to repeal human rights laws, which they did do after 9/11. But also they wouldn't be able to repeal all laws. So the torture ones, etc., and I think the right to a trial, etc. I think there were some that they can't repeal. So there is a silver lining. But it also makes me think, again, does that look like incompetence on Theresa May's part, that she mentions these things, even though someone must have told her that, or should have told her, that actually that's a red herring because there's some laws she can't repeal anyhow. But it just makes for a good headline. And or she uses it as distraction because people were calling her out for having been Home Secretary when police numbers were cut, and that it's just a distraction from that and she doesn't have to take responsibility for that. So that's just a quick thought on that. And thank you to Gwenyen for your comments. Quite right. And I have seen people post about the anniversaries of in the Second World War. That happened this week. And just to remind us all, people died so we have these freedoms and we have civil liberties. It's important that we do everything we can to preserve them. Polling day today. I saw an article yesterday that in Marketing Week, of all strange places, that the Tories already won, and that certainly seems to be what I've heard from commentators and what sort of people assume and what was said on the news. So I wasn't quite sure whether do they know something we don't, or are they trying to mobilise people who don't want the Tories to get in to definitely go out and vote if it looks like the Tories have already won. I wasn't quite sure, but the article in Marketing Week said that the Tories already won through Facebook. So this is the same thing that worked in the referendum. Apparently they already used this in the 2010 election, and they used it again now. They try to throw all their money at advertising in Facebook, so-called dark ads. And I saw another statistic somewhere that apparently a third of UK adults use Facebook as their sole source of news. And no doubt those are the people who say they're very well informed, even though in Facebook the danger is ads can be targeted at specific people. This is how they won the referendum. We now know that. They can find out what people like. They can find out their political affiliations. They can find out who it's worth targeting what ads at. If one only uses Facebook, then that's not the breadth of news. And I have certainly noticed that it's very important to look at other news channels, the radio, the television. You know, it's very interesting on the radio to hear a presenter grill, say, a Labour politician on Brexit, yet if David Davis comes on, he just allows them to get away with all sorts of nonsense. And if you think about it, it's all just sound bites. There's nothing behind it. you know, or if you watch the television, like last night, I saw on Twitter that Jon Snow, the legendary Channel 4 presenter, managed to, well, he complained on Twitter that Theresa May is the first Prime Minister ever not to give him an interview before a general election. And she then apparently relented and she came on. So I caught the end of that interview. He asked her some very tough questions, such as taking responsibility for police cuts while she was Home Secretary. He didn't push anything. He didn't ask again. He didn't grill her. He just asked her some really tough questions. And oh my God, did she glare at him? So, you know, things like that, you're not going to get that from Facebook necessarily, if it's all sort of individualized ads, because Facebook might not want to show you those kind of things. So it's, I think it's very important then also to read different papers and to get an idea of what's in The Guardian that's going to have its own slant as opposed to what The Telegraph is saying. And even got a Mail and The Express. It's always nice to see their headlines, even though I wouldn't necessarily read them, but then you get the gist from the headlines. So I think that's very important. And I did notice that on Facebook, for instance, I mean, there's one friend who kept pushing anti-Corbyn videos, you know, from the Conservatives. And he would say, oh, this is news and this is news. I was like, well, Corbyn talked to the IRA in the 80s. Loads of people did. And this was big news, and this was the big anti-Corbyn push. And apart from the fact that I'm thinking, well, you know, what's the positive thing about Northern Ireland now? What are they going to do about Northern Ireland now? That's what I'm interested in, not what Corbyn did in the 80s. I mean, that's a long time ago. But I did actually see another thing, and this is the thing. If you look around, I then stumbled across something where someone actually had a script from the Tories saying this is going to be one of their campaign tactics to push this because Corbyn talked to the IRA in the 80s line. One of the messages they wanted to get out there to discredit him, because it was all about discrediting opponents rather than having positive qualities to talk about. And a friend told me yesterday that actually Corbyn got a peace prize. He got the Gandhi Peace Prize. I don't know why he doesn't mention this. In 2013, I looked it up. For being a pacifist and for being for nuclear disarmament and for human rights nationally and internationally. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know why Corbyn didn't know, why he's probably too modest to, you know, but that didn't come out. So it's not, you know, I mean, he got so many questions on, would you push the nuclear button? Which in that context seems completely unfair, because it's kind of, he's a pacifist, so he wouldn't do that. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I don't think Corbyn would make a super prime minister either. I just think Labour would be slightly better than the Tories in the context of Brexit, but then we'll take that up again tomorrow, I think, because I'm going to run out of time here. Yeah, I just, you know, I think, well, Corbyn's also stupid for pushing for this hard Brexit. He didn't need to do that. I think he was trying to mop up some of the Leave vote and the UKIP vote and trying to get them to vote Labour. He must know that, I mean, he's got intelligent people in the right places. So they will have told him that coming out of the single market is going to be absolutely disastrous. And unless they come up with some kind of transitional arrangement before they can come up with new trade deals. So yeah, but it's going to be the economy again from tomorrow, I think. So today, polling day, and I'm going to worry about that again tomorrow. Saw last week's Question Time with Nick Clegg. Yesterday I had to catch up because we couldn't get BBC One on holiday, and you know, wow, Nick Clegg makes some really good points about the economy, even though we know this election is not about the economy, because neither Labour nor the Conservatives have told us enough about this. But yeah, the point, oh, I'm going to run out of time. Can I do a part two just because it's polling day? All right, I'll speak to you in a minute.